day today. We thank you for these answers to prayer of test results that were good, and thank you for helping Nick in this time, and Lord, for helping Rachel, and just continue to minister in their lives. And think of Pam Pruitt as she's struggling physically. We pray that you'd minister to her today. Thank you that Hannah did well at camp, and Lord, just continue to bless our families here in our church. And Lord, do think of this unspoken that Terry has. Lord, you know the great need there, and I pray that you would work and show your power in that life. Continue to touch Eric there in Georgia, Lord, and continue to help his body to heal. And Lord, we also think of Brother Wayne Stikes as he has surgery Tuesday on his back. Lord, we pray that you would give the doctors and surgeons wisdom, that the surgery would go smoothly and be able to help him to not have the terrible pain he's been suffering. And Lord, just touch him, we pray. And then Lord, ask you to bless as we study your word this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray. Lord, you know the needs that we have, and you know the topic today, and we ask you just to bless and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Okay. Good. So now you have two jobs.
Oh, no.
Well, woke up praying, Todd. I tell you what, man. That's good. Great. That's the answer to prayer. Is Gideon, did he ever pass those stones or still not? All right. Continue to pray for Gideon. Several months ago, a news story broke concerning spanking children. Can you guess what they concluded without even hearing the story? They did a bunch of surveys with adults that had been spanked as they were children. And their conclusion was earth-shaking. Spanking may cause harm. That's kind of like Cheerios may help your cholesterol. You know, those are really concise results there. And of course, their conclusion, and every liberal conclusion, is don't spank children. No corporal punishment. Now, this is not a new thing. In fact, in 1946, a book was written entitled Baby and Child Care. Now, folks, for 52 years, this book was the second bestseller only to the Bible. Anybody know who wrote that book? Yes, Dr. Spock. Yeah, good. Yeah, some of you are thinking the wrong Spock, okay? This was Benjamin Spock, okay? Some of your education's a little limited there, you know. Star Trek is about as far as it goes. All right. Benjamin Spock. And, of course, his philosophy was we need to be more affectionate and flexible with child care. And, of course, he did oppose spanking, and you saw what that produced in the 60s and 70s. We're in the midst of studying relationships in the home in Colossians chapter 3. Now, again, I'll be real honest with you. We're spending some time here talking about children, their relationship to their parents. Now, for some of you, like me, it's a little late in the game. I wish I'd heard this 20 years ago. I mean, but you may have grandchildren coming along, which I do. Lily is our first grandchild. By the way, speaking of, Bob Gilbert emailed me this week, and he is now a grandfather, a little baby boy, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, and their daughter Amy is doing well. And so he said the boy's already sitting up watching cartoons. So it's a pretty precocious child. But we're going to talk again this morning about child rearing, and we want to go back to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 18. Remember, these are all little short, succinct statements that Paul makes about relationships in the home. We've already studied the first three. Just real quickly, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Again, there are volumes written about how wives are to respond to their husbands. By the way, most of those are wrong. Here Paul comes along and says, I'm going to give you one word. If you'll practice this one word in your home, you'll be all right. And that is wives in submission. Now, it is a two-way street. He goes on to the men and he says, husbands, love your wives and be not, maybe that's where the Mormons get it. Maybe it should be love your wife. Maybe that's the problem there. Husbands, love your wives, obviously plural husbands, plural wives, and be not bitter against them. And here's the other side. Again, gentlemen, what is your duty to your wife? Love her. Does that mean that warm, fuzzy feeling? Well, you may have that when you're dating. It probably left about 20 years ago. At this point, it is a commitment to sacrifice to meet her needs. Are you practicing that? You say, we're having trouble in our home. I can tell you why. Wives are not submitting. Husbands are not loving. Now, folks, this is not rocket science. And yet, week after week, month after month, we hear of homes falling apart. God's way is clear, folks. It's right here. Now, what about the children? Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And we'll review that very quickly. And then today, fathers, and this word is also translated elsewhere in the Bible as parents, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So, let's review. We talked last week about the identity of children. That was real deep. That's offspring. How many of you have children at home still? Children at home still. Raise them good and high so I can kind of see. Oh, that's more than I thought. Good. How many of you haven't had children for a long time at home and you're really excited about it? All right, good. All right, good. All right. Great. Now, he says to the children, they are to obey. Now, here's a command from God. Now, you say, wait a minute, Gary. The children aren't in here. Well, Faith is in here. This is why I'm teaching this lesson. Because her parents said, we're going to bring Faith today. Would you make sure she learns to obey? All right? Not really. She's a college sophomore. She still should be obeying her parents, though. And I'm sure she is. Isn't she? There we go. You fooled them both. Very good. Now, he said, children, obey. Now, it comes from that word acoustic, which means to hear and to do. This is the duty. Your children's responsibility is to simply obey you. All right? Obey you. In the Word of God in Proverbs 1:8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And of course, we expanded on that in Exodus 20:12. The first commandment dealing with man's relationship to man, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother. So it says, look, don't obey them. Just obey, but have a right spirit and do it with the right attitude. I was able to spend the week with my folks, and my folks are getting older. And I guess this is one of the first times that it really hit me. My dad loves horseshoes. And we went out to play horseshoes, and he couldn't throw it all the way there. And I thought, it's part of the aging process, isn't it? But I got there, and of course, they had all kinds of things lined up. I had to work on the piano, had to fix the lawnmower, had to do this and that. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And they went on and on, oh, it's so wonderful to have you do all this. I just thought, man, it's just an honor to be able to do it for you. You know, this is great stuff. And I wish that I could live nearer and do all. But folks, children are to obey and to honor their parents. Now, this obedience is applied where he says, in all things, and unto the Lord. And we've already talked about that. Now, the motive for obedience. Why is this so important? Is making your child obey fun? No. In fact, it's a royal pain. They don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy it. So why in the world is it so important? And we gave three reasons last week. Number one in Colossians 3:20, because it pleases God. This is God's rule. And you know what? You ought to teach this to your children. You obey me, why? Because it pleases God. This is God's rule. This is not my rule. This is God's rule. And it pleases God to obey him. Secondly, we saw in Ephesians 6:1, why do we do it? Because it's right. It's right. A child does not have to question, should I obey my parents or not? It's right. It's the right thing to do. And then thirdly, we said they should do it because there are promises connected to it. It leads to a better life and a longer life. Okay, so that we covered all that last week. Now, the duty of the parents. Okay, that's the duty of the children. The duty of the parents. And I want you to turn again to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Because we'll be in both these passages today. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, and again, this is that same word, can actually be applied to parents. Provoke not your children to wrath. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, there are two parts that are the parents' responsibility. Now, we see the negative side. Don't provoke them. And again, we'll talk about that momentarily. But then bring them up in two ways. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, admonitions for next week. Today is nurture. Now, doesn't that sound like a nice word? I mean, you nurture them. You love them. You hug on them. It's like taking a tender plant and you water it and you fertilize it and you nurture it and you make it. In fact, in the dictionary, it says to give tender care and protection to a young child, animal, or plant, helping it to grow and develop. Doesn't that sound sweet? Now, that's pretty much what the world says to do. Here's how to raise your children. Your children are basically good. And the reason they misbehave is they don't realize how good they are. So your job is to help your children to understand how good they are and to build their self-esteem. Isn't that a great word? So that your children feel good about themselves. And when they feel good about themselves, Mark and Lori, you know what they're going to do? They're going to act good. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, sadly to say, folks, that is the world's philosophy. That's exactly what it is. Now, this word is used five times in the Word of God. Four of them are in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and see if you can figure out what the word is. Hebrews chapter 12. You can edit Mark's comment off that. It'd be good. Give people the wrong idea around here, you know. Hebrews chapter 12, I may have said Ephesians. If you're looking for Ephesians 12, good luck. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll read all the verses and you tell me what the word is. Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seem to be joyous. What's the word? Chastening. That doesn't sound quite so nice, does it? Chastening. Discipline. To chastise. Folks, that's what that word nurture means. Now, if your children were basically good, then you wouldn't have to discipline them. What does the Bible say about your children? And if your children are here today, you just chime right in. They are born sinners with a sinful nature. And if they do what comes naturally, what will they do? They'll do what's wrong. They'll sin. Just like us, by the way. So, what does the Bible say to do? Well, let's turn to the book of Proverbs. You knew we were getting there eventually, didn't you? The book of Proverbs. Chapter 13. And verse 24. Now the world would tell you, look, if you love your child, you will not spank them. What does God say? Verse 24. He that spareth his rod, well, that sounds vicious, doesn't it? Hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That's not before bedtime. That's going to sound like it's all the time, basically. All right, so what does God's word say? You say, well, Gary, that's just one verse in the Bible. Okay, let me help you some more here. Look in chapter 19 and verse 18. 19:18. Proverbs 19:18. chasten or discipline thy son while there is hope. And this is great. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Isn't that great? I mean, did God understand human nature? When your child knows he's going to get a spanking, what does he start doing? He starts crying even before he ever gets spanked. And here old Solomon says, look, you need if you love him, you need to chasten him. And that's interesting. While there's hope, what does that imply? Yeah, that's exactly right. There's going to come a time when there's not hope, when it's too late. Okay? And let not thy... That's a great verse. And then look in chapter 23. We're not done yet. 23, verse 13. These are great words. I can just imagine liberal child rearers, and they read these verses, they must floor them. 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou, look at these words, beatest him with a rod. I mean, hallelujah. He shall not die. And like Preacher Lashley used to say, he may sound like he's dying, but he's not going to die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and boy, look at this, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Wow. Pretty strong stuff, isn't it? What's he saying? If you don't, you may have part in sending your child to hell. That is strong stuff. One more. Chapter 29, verse 15. 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Now, we want rest right now. But he said, you correct him now, and you're going to get rest, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. You say, I'm looking forward to that day. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. Is the Bible clear about what we ought to do? Now, we have a choice, don't we? We can go the world's way, or we can go God's way. Now, there's the command to discipline. Now, before we're done here, there's also a caution in discipline. A caution in discipline. Don't go to sleep at this point. You're going to go home and take out a 2x4 or a 6x6, and you're going to clean that boy's clock. Okay? There is a caution to discipline. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And before he ever talks about the discipline, he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers or parents, provoke not your children to wrath. And then flip back over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. And this is all he says in this passage. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, the word provoke means to irritate, to arouse resentment, to make angry, to exasperate. Isn't that a great word? We don't want them to be discouraged, to lose heart, to frustrate, or to make bitter. Now, we got a problem. You say, Seaman, wait a minute. First of all, you tell me to beat the snot out of my kid. Okay? Now you say, don't make him angry. Is it possible to have Bible discipline and have a child who loves you and respects you? Yes, it is. Now, I'm going to give you about 6 things here this morning, and really all of these come pretty much straight from Mrs. Lashley's lesson, which I will email to you tomorrow. And you can, so these are all written down for you. I've changed them a little bit, but these will help you. Again, recently I watched the film Courageous. I'll never watch it again because it tells me how bad of a dad I was. What can I do about it now, you know? If you've got children, I would encourage you to watch it, especially if you're a husband or a father. It is a great challenge. But I got done watching it and I thought, Thanks. You know, 15 years ago would have been nice. But as I go through some of these things, now, by the way, many of the things we're going to talk about are just Christian character issues. Whether you have children at home or whether their children are gone, these things apply to how you treat your husband, how you treat your wife, how you treat everybody, and how you be a Christian. And the first one especially does, number one, in disciplining your child, don't lose control of yourself. Let's do a brief survey, scientific survey. How many of you have ever whipped your child because you were angry and mad? Come on, be honest. Boy, I know I did. Here's what we do. We have a rule, and we're watching UT play, and the child's misbehaving, and we think, well, that's no big deal. You know, I've got to watch this ball game, you know. And the child continues to misbehave, but, you know, hey, it's the exciting part of the game. And then finally, they continue to misbehave, and you get so upset, and you get so angry, and now, and we discipline in anger. When we lose control of ourselves, we've lost the battle. There are several great verses that help us with this. In Proverbs 25:28, he says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." What good is a city in ancient days without walls? You can't protect it. He says in Proverbs 14:17, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Have you been there? I have. When you lose your cool, you will say things, you will do things. Remember when you were driving this week and that guy cut you off? And what you said, what you thought. Hope you didn't make any signs or anything. I mean, I hope you were more of a Christian than that, you know. Yeah. Give him a track, invite him to church. Yeah, right. The simple matter of fact is, folks, it is hard to not lose your cool. And the key is, decide on the rules and just do what you say. Yeah, I had a couple come to me, I guess it's been a year or so ago, and they were a family that was, I think he had been divorced. Not sure if she was ever married, had a child, and it was her child, not his, okay? And they come and they say, "We got trouble because she won't discipline the child and he's too harsh." Well, you know, it's not his child. That you know, it's a tough thing, it really is. And said, "Look, here's the answer. Decide on the rules, decide what the punishment is, and do it." That sounds easy, doesn't it? That sounds really easy. I can say it now because mine are, you know, in their 20s. You know. You say, "Gary, how is it possible? You don't know my children. I mean, they drive me nuts. And I just lose it." Now, remember how both of these passages started? The Ephesians passage starts really in verse 18 of chapter 5. What does that verse say? Ephesians 5:18. "Be not drunk with wine, or as in excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God." This passage starts by letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, being controlled by the Word of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God. Here's the answer. Folks, you cannot be a godly parent and discipline correctly if you are not spirit controlled. If you are disciplining or trying to parent in your own spirit, your own strength, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. You're going to do some things. You're going to say some things you should not say. A spirit controlled mom or dad, controlled by the Spirit of God, will be okay, because what are the fruit of the Spirit? What's the first one? Love. Joy, peace. What's the next one? Now say it right. Long suffering. Yeah. Temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. I wonder how many of those people in that survey that said, my parents' discipline destroyed me. I wonder how many of those parents were spirit-controlled believers. You see, folks, really everything in the Christian life is dependent upon abiding in Christ. Abiding in the vine. Walking in the vine. You say, I'm trying to be a good Christian parent. Are you spending time in God's word every day? Are you spending time in prayer every day? Are you walking with the Lord? You know, this applies to everything. I want to be a soul winner. Let me ask you a question. And we say, well, I want to be a soul winner. I feel so guilty. I'm not out handing out tracts. I don't do. Are you walking with the Lord? If you're spirit controlled, will you be a witness? Sure you will. And what we tend to do, folks, we tend to do all the extra stuff, all the exterior stuff without the interior walk. Okay? All right. Don't lose control. Second, this is another great one. Be consistent and predictable. Oh, my soul. Be consistent. Now, when we are not consistent in our discipline, what does it do to the children? Well, let me ask you this. What if today we decided that all the red lights meant caution?
You
made that up. Yeah. Some drive. The green light now means stop. Yellow means whatever I've left, go. Okay? Which is usually what we think anyway, isn't it? That wasn't a great illustration because most of us think yellow does mean go. So forget that illustration. We say the green means stop. Okay, then tomorrow yellow means stop. And then the next day maybe red means... Would you be a little frustrated? Now, what is today? when the power went out here in Gray, a week or so ago, you know, when the power goes out and the lights aren't working, what's supposed to happen? It's every man for himself, right? It's supposed to be like a four-way stop. Talk about frustrating. One guy gets through, so everybody else says, oh, I'm going too. And so everybody else goes, somebody else inches out there and they're real brave and get them to stop, and then everybody else goes, and it's frustrating. Now, folks, when we change the rules, when we're inconsistent, when we don't enforce the rules, when we're one day we're in a good mood and the child gets away with murder, and the next day we have a headache, and if they look at you cross-eyed, they get hit upside the head, no wonder they're frustrated and bitter. They don't have a clue what's going on. We need to be consistent. And again, I know that's very difficult. And by the way, I think there's consistency in discipline. There's also consistency in living. I was sent an email yesterday by one of our church members concerning a daughter of a very famous preacher. I'm not going to mention his name, but if I did, you would know him. A famous fundamental Baptist preacher. We would say in our circles a very successful man. Now, I know that children can be sour grapes, but she's not the first one to say it. She said, Dad was one way at the church, in public, and he was a totally different man at home. She is now involved in the New Age movement. You say, well, my kid kicked the trace, he got a certain age because he didn't like Christianity. Well, maybe he never saw it. Folks, we do our children a grave disservice when we come to church and we carry our Bibles and we look so spiritual. And then we get home and we act carnal and wicked. And we tell our children, you don't talk to your mother like that. And the night before, she heard you talk to her in just the same way. See, I told you there's some application if your children are gone, okay? Consistency. Be consistent. We got to hurry. I got a couple more here. Thirdly, these aren't quite as painful. Be reasonable and willing to hear the child's case. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Now this next verse is another great verse for all of us. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be... What's the first one? This is James chapter 1. Let every man be swift to speak. That's most of our life verse, isn't it? Let every man be swift to speak. Well, I'm just, whatever I hear, man, I'm gonna tell him what I mean. I'm going to tell him what I think. Well, that sounds exciting, but that's not what the Bible says. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wow. Again, I don't care where you live or what you got at home, that verse is for all of us, okay? It's for all of us, especially for parents. Slow to speak. Listening, boy, you just might find out that what you think happened didn't actually happen. Fourthly, this is tough too. If you have more, how many have more than one child? Okay. How many ever struggle with favoritism? Sure. That's exactly right, Rachel. I know which one you're treated nicely, and it wasn't that one. No. What happens, folks, when you constantly compare your children to another child? Well, I wish you were like Susie. I don't know if anybody has a Susie in here. Susie is always obedient, and you're so rebellious. Susie always does what's right, and you're always doing what's wrong. Susie's so smart, and you're so stupid. I know you'd never say that to your child. Well, John never did that to us. You know, George behaves so much better than you do. Wow. You know, God created all children differently. I only have two. And they are worlds apart, although it's kind of funny because they've gotten older, they become more and more alike, which is kind of funny. I never thought Hannah would be in education, but here she is training to teach, you know, and she'll be a great teacher because she struggled in school and she'll understand the other kids have struggled, you know. But children are different, folks. They're not going to be the same. Okay? And when we expect them to be the same, we're going against God. God made them a certain way for a certain reason. We need to treat them fairly and evenly. Okay? We got to hurry. Number five, don't be severe in punishment. The punishment should match the crime, shouldn't it? When your kid lies to you and you say, you're grounded for 6 months. Well, number one, how long is that going to last? Maybe 6 hours. Yeah. And number two, hallelujah. And you know, unless he burned the house down, he probably doesn't deserve that. The punishment should match the crime. And then don't be severe in language. Oh my. Our language, even when our children are bad, should be good. What happens when we berate a child? When a child spills his milk? You stupid, clumsy kid. By the way, what happens when you speak like that to your husband or wife? Boy, I hope you don't do that. Hope you never yell at your wife. Trust me. I'm not going to tell you that. Tell us. You're a lot of help. Could you move to the back of the class, please? Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure you won't. Boy, our language is so crucial. I'm not going to tell you. So just forget it. Okay. Some of you just woke up. You thought, oh, here's up good finally. Don't attack them personally. Deal with the offense. Boy, what do you think? How does it affect a child when we scream or yell and call them names? You're the dumbest kid I've got. We wonder why they don't want to serve God. Wow. Let me get the last one. I'm done. Finally, allow them to grow. Realize they're not adult yet. Don't expect your 5-year-old to act like an 18-year-old. And vice versa. Okay? They're growing. They're changing. We were at the Billy Graham Library. Ruth Graham has passed away and her grave is there, and on her tombstone she had written, end of construction, thank you for your patience. I thought that was pretty good. Hey, your children are under construction, folks. Be patient. Be patient. God has allowed you to be the parent of a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. By the way, that's probably the most important job you have. And we, if we're going to be successful, folks, we've got to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believers. Let me give you one more survey. Harvard took this survey, looking at child situations when they were 5 or 6 years old. And they could predict with a reliability of 90% how those children would turn out as they followed their life. The four things that they say would prevent delinquency, here they are. Number one, the very first thing, a father's discipline. Very first thing. Number two, the mother's supervision. Now, we're living in a day and age when many mothers work. And if you do, I'm not here to give you a hard time. But I still feel like the ideal situation is for mothers to stay at home and raise their children. No one will do as good a job as you will do. Okay, if you're mad, get over it, all right? Remember that verse I just read out back? Okay. Number three, a mother and father's affection for each other demonstrated. That's the third factor. And the fourth one is a family's cohesiveness, family united together. Father's discipline, mother's supervision, mother and father loving each other openly. The child knows that they love each other. And then finally, that family cohesiveness. Now, this is the duty of the parents. To not cause the child to be bitter or angry or frustrated in your discipline, but to bring them up in the nurture, the discipline. And we'll cover admonition next week of the Lord. Now, if you have children at home, these lessons are for you. Okay? This is Bible teaching. Bible teaching that will help you to produce children that God wants to have, all right? So that hopefully 20 years down the road, you'll be able to have children who love God and are serving God and going in the way of God. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for your word, for the simplicity of the teaching of the word of God. Help us as parents to be what we ought to be. Help us, first of all, to walk with you, to have that daily walk with you. And then, Lord, help us to be disciplining in the right way, loving our children, chastening them in the Lord, not causing them to be frustrated or bitter or angry, I pray. And God bless our homes. Lord, there are many homes represented in this group here today. And many of them have small children still in their homes. And God, I pray you'd help every parent this week to be spirit controlled, to respond to their children the way they should. Bless us and help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.